outside the medical criteria for prolonging life for somebody who is elderly, is there any consideration that can be given for a certain spirit, a certain joy of living, quality of life, or is it just a medical cutoff at a certain age?
We're suggesting, and we're not going to solve every difficult problem in terms of end-of-life care. A lot of that is going to have to be we as a culture and as a society starting to make better decisions within our own families and for ourselves. But what we can do is make sure that at least some of the waste that exists in the system that's not making anybody's mom better, that is loading up on additional tests or additional drugs that the evidence shows is not necessarily going to improve care, that at least we can let doctors know and your mom know that, you know what, maybe this isn't going to help. Maybe you're better off not having the surgery, but taking the painkiller.
Does our President Obama have a secret soulmate? Does he yearn in the dark recesses of his mind for an Adolf? A Hitler, perhaps. If not, then why is our current president pushing and endorsing a healthcare policy which would make even Adolf Hitler blush? Already, the continued bailout policies and the accelerating economic collapse have led to cuts and losses to our healthcare system, particularly in the areas of Medicare and Medicaid. We have over 93 million people dependent on these programs for their very lives. Over the last five years and more, bankrupt states with nowhere to turn have been forced to choose who will be able to get coverage and who will not, who will live and who will die. On top of this, the policy put forth by our new president and his group of overvalued advisors is to cut $500 to $600 billion out of federal spending for Medicare and Medicaid, an act which would surely lead to the genocide of millions of people requiring federal aid for health care. The question currently stands, however, has the killing already begun? As of the end of May, unemployment figures hit an all-time 26-year high of 9.4%. Taken into account the discouraged workers or workers whose hours have been cut back to part-time, and your new official unemployment figure is actually closer to 16.4%. And for every 1% rise in unemployment, it is estimated that Medicaid enrollment rises by 1 million people. So already, before any of the proposed cuts have even occurred, Medicaid is swiftly disappearing. And President Obama proposes to cut even more? Come on, Mr. President, let's not mince words here. Let's not justify our actions by saying this policy is cost-effective or a comprehensive healthcare reform. Let's call this what it really is: fascism. When the government of a nation puts the interests of a small few above the general welfare of the populace as a whole, we are dealing with a fascist policy. Look at the situation we face on the ground already, before our new president's policy has even hit. States facing the end of their current fiscal year by July 1st are hit with rising budget deficits and plummeting revenues and are forced to cut their budgets, particularly in healthcare. How many of the 49 million on Medicaid or the 44 million on Medicare will be denied care or disenrolled from the federal program? For example, take the state of Washington, faced with such a task and unwilling to dictate exactly who will be left to die. That state has come up with a proposal to hold a lottery for those poor currently enrolled in the state's basic health plan. Since funding only exists for 64,000 of the 100,000 enrolled in the plan, the fate of 36,000 people who will be denied coverage will be left entirely up to chance. In North Carolina, the new budget as of July 1st, proposes slashing over $1 billion out of a state budget deficit of $4.6 billion by cutting education funding, by reducing reimbursements to doctors and hospitals which treat Medicaid patients, cutting services to the mentally ill, to substance abusers, and services in the infirm. In Massachusetts, the health plan implemented in 2006 mandated universal private medical insurance through HMOs. Since then, thousands of poor and low-income families and individuals have been wrought destitute, forced to pay thousands of dollars for mandated insurance before even seeing $1 of coverage. In the state of California, with over 10.6 million Medicaid enrollees, the highest out of any state, Governor Schwarzenegger has already launched austere budget cuts, including cutting spending to Medi-Cal, to the state's Healthy Families or Children's Health Insurance Program, and cutting specialty programs such as the Alzheimer's Patients Assistance Plan. Now everybody has had at least one experience or known somebody who has suffered under our nation's increasingly destitute healthcare system. With the takedown of the Hill-Burton health standards and the implementation of system, the individual care and on impeding insurance have been denied care. How many people over the last 30 years have been turned away from a treatment that could have saved their lives? How many healthcare horror stories have we seen? This is not the kind of policy a nation committed to defending the welfare and livelihood of its populace would have. This is not the policy of the United States of America. So the question remains, have the killings indeed already begun? Our current president must not and cannot continue such a policy of genocide. He must abandon all of his current commitments, abandon the bailout, and abandon the commitment to health care cuts. The point is, this is fascism. It's genocide. The killing has already begun. Are you next on the list?